Pfizer says that cancer is the new COVID, and they expect their cancer drugs to be blockbuster. Now, how do we feel about Pfizer using the term blockbuster for its upcoming buffet of cancer drugs? A blockbuster means major commercial success, like Independence Day, the movie. Should I care if a pharmaceutical company has blockbusters? Do you? This is weird, the way this is being presented to us. We are being treated as if we collectively really are cheering for Pfizer. Here's a segment from this weekend where the news media is rooting for Pfizer's cancer drug to replace its COVID profits. Notice how excited she assumes we all are for Pfizer's return to mega profits.
Fox Business Alert, look at this intraday of Pfizer. Shares popped this morning and right now are just off session highs, up 6.25% after the pharma giant reported a huge surprise beat in first quarter profits. That was enough for investors to forgive a 20% dip in revenue. Pfizer attributed the beat to extremely effective cost-cutting measures, as well as a much smaller than expected dip in sales for specifically its COVID-19 antiviral pill Paxlovid. The results provide much needed good news for the company. Just last week, the stock hit its lowest level since 2012 on a split adjusted basis. But is this report now a sign that Pfizer's fumbles over the last year are now in the rearview mirror?
Okay.
She loves it. I mean, they're very excited about this, you know,
right.
And it's amazing. So Pfizer can roll out this new, you know, Pfizer term for blockbuster for their new cancer thing. And they can go on all the media.
Yeah.
They can, because they funnel so much money to these media companies. You know, that's why we are independent media. We don't take money from big pharma companies or anything like that. So they can go on the Today Show. They can go on MSNBC. They can go on Fox like this. And they're like, here we go. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not subtle that Pfizer is paying the network that she is on. Now, I don't share her enthusiasm for Pfizer to make big bucks because I know that they don't invest those in people who get injured by their products, nor do they do better clinical trials. So, but okay, some people are excited. And yes, I would love to see a cure for cancer just like you, but do I trust it to come from Pfizer? Now, here is Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, who is incidentally not a doctor. He has a PhD in vaccine science, but let's hear him talk about his company's. I'm sorry, what did I say? Veterinary.
Vaccine. I think I meant veterinary.
Sorry, he has a PhD in veterinarian. That means he's an animal doctor, okay? Not people doctor. Here he is talking about his upcoming cancer products.
Oncology, it is our new COVID. So we did what we did with COVID. We are very proud, we saved the world, but it is behind us now. We want to do once more, and I think oncology is our best chance to do it. But
oncology.
Of course, with many other therapeutic areas.
Okay, oncology, specifically what? And could that eventually be blockbuster drugs in that pipeline?
I think will be blockbuster drugs, and more importantly, they will be blockbuster drugs because they will have significant impact on cancer patients.
Okay. Did you hear what he just said? We already saved the world once with our COVID vaccine. You want to let that one go? I can't. I'm not going to let that go, because when you search for data that shows that the vaccine ended the pandemic, you do not find it. Readily available data shows that the vaccinated, now in the CDC even says the vaccinated are more likely to contract COVID than the unvaccinated and be hospitalized. There's two studies that they use to say the vaccine ended the pandemic or was the thing, right? The first one compared the COVID vaccine and low rates of death and intubation. That's when they put you on breathing machines, breathing tubes. This is a really strange study. We talked about it with Dr. Peter McCullough when it came out last April. It compared the original COVID vaccine with death rates and these ventilations during the Omicron wave. And it was weird for a couple of reasons. One, the original COVID vaccine was not made for Omicron. And two, they studied immunocompromised people, but they don't account for previous infection, which is a huge omission because we know that people with previous infections have superior immunity. And their results, they never really say we're pretty sure that the vaccinated did not die or go on these ventilators. They said that their results show waning protection against the ventilation and the death after 6 months from receipt of the last dose, but demonstrate clinically meaningful levels of protection for less than a year. So that's what they're going on, that they saved the world with some meaningful data. That's not even statistically significant. That's less than that. Save the world, you say? Also, they use this study that was published this year. It estimates the number of lives saved by the COVID vaccine. This study really proves nothing because they just took an expected death number, which they wrote down from their own math models, and concluded, well, we never reached those numbers, so that's because of the vaccine. And that's how, okay, that's how they prove that the COVID vaccine was effective. Also, if you see at the bottom, this was funded by the WHO, so read it for yourself. So that's what Albert Bourla is using to say that they saved the world. That's all they've got. Okay, so I just couldn't let that one slide. And I don't think any of us should, but notice how the corporate media could. He said, we saved the world. We're on to the next thing now. And she was like, yeah, you did that.
We saved the world and we're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
No one's going to correct him on that.
Join me, everybody, in freaking out that he said that uncontested.
Please. Saved the world. Okay.
And she said nothing.
You literally have Pfizer executives on the record in front of government officials in Australia going on the record about how they didn't even know, they weren't even admitting the damages that were being done, and they knew internally what was happening.
Yes.
They didn't even test it clinically on animals. They didn't even have the numbers totally. They said they, like, it was 11 or something like that. It wasn't even that high. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list was pretty endless about Pfizer's treachery at this point. We can go through how many different countries that are dealing with Pfizer lawsuits right now and trying to put, we go from the UK to the Netherlands to Australia to the United States right now. And you guys saved the world? You guys saved the world? Now, I point you to Brett Weinstein's interview with Tucker Carlson, where he lays out how many people, you know the numbers, how many people have actually been affected by this? Go seek out that interview. He lays out the numbers in stark contrast. So he saved the world? Maybe it's the exact opposite.
So the journalist should have said, I'm sorry, can I stop you there? Based on what data are you saying that you saved the world, please? I'll wait.
Because I have some data of my own right here. You want to read it?
You don't even have to have data. Just ask him, like, on what basis are you saying that, sir, please? I'd like to know, because these two studies are the things that are most usually used when someone says that, you know, the vaccine was the thing. And I would like to see something better than that. So
when you see one of these business networks, a CNBC, a Bloomberg, or the one you were just watching there, they will never challenge these CEOs. They will never challenge those companies because that's their bread and butter. That network wouldn't exist if it wasn't for having guests like the CEO of Pfizer on at noon, coming up at noon today. Yeah. The CEO of Pfizer is going to be our guest here on the show, right? If they were challenging these guests all the time with tough questions, those people wouldn't show up on their show and they wouldn't have a show.
Well, we're going to see in a second what happened to Chris Cuomo when he left CNN versus when he was on CNN about honesty around the vaccine. Now, let's circle back for a second. I always get little pings in the chat that this is something I say a lot.
Circle back.
Circle back.
Let's circle back.
Let's circle back. Let's holla back here about cancer. Now, we know that there has been a resurgence in turbo cancers since the pandemic. And what happened during the pandemic? A vaccine rollout. So is there an association with COVID vaccines and cancer recurrence? And now Pfizer has a cancer drug. Is that convenient? Well, over the weekend, a friend of the show, Neil Oliver, had oncologist Angus Dalgish, sorry, I'm sure that's wrong, on his show to discuss this. And what he has been observing is shocking. Watch.
Can you explain in simple terms what it is that you are seeing that has got the alarm bells ringing?
Well, the first thing I saw doing a regular melanoma clinic that I have been doing for years was that I was starting to see people who were stable, that we've been doing immunotherapy for over 20 years. And I was starting to see people who've been stable for 5, 10, even 20 years relapse, really unusually. They're very fit and healthy. And I've occasionally seen this when somebody gets very depressed, they get knocked back, a bereavement, a divorce, bankruptcy for months. And we know this depression is associated with immune suppression. So I have seen that 2 or 3 times. And I looked for this in these patients, and there was absolutely no evidence. They were all perfectly happy. So I basically said, what have they all got in common? And they'd all got in common was they'd had the first booster vaccine. It was around this time. And I was able to show that they'd had it, then the relapse started between about 3 weeks and 3 months after the booster vaccine. So I thought this is an association. That doesn't mean to say it's causal. I mean, I'm the first to say that. But when you see an association and that it might be actually inducing it, you have to first of all ask why. Scientifically, is there a rationale for this? And two, is there anything else? Is it just a coincidence? Well, the thing that alarmed me was that I've done a lot of research on vaccines in my time, and I immediately remembered the model where one vaccine's good, two might help if the first one didn't react properly, but the third actually causes more inflammation than good and actually detracts from the first two. And the fourth is even worse. And I suddenly thought, is this what I'm seeing here?
Okay. So again, I want to ask, is there an association between these rises in cases of cancer resurgence and turbo cancers and the convenience of the fact that now Pfizer has a cancer drug that they're testing, right? It feels like maybe they had something to do with the cause that they are trying to, or the effect that they are now trying to solve. That's what it feels like to me. And if you were this Fox News reporter, first of all, you would never have let Albert Bourla just say he had saved the world, his company had. But maybe you should ask that question like, oh, yes, I'm so glad that you're taking a look at cancer because we've seen a lot of cancer resurgence since the pandemic. What do you think is causing the resurgence of cancer?
Right.
What do you think? But no, she did not choose to do that. Okay. What would you want to play? No,
I was going to say Albert, just so curious, because like right around the same time that your Pfizer thing rolled out, we're seeing now this huge spike in this other thing. Like, I don't know, is there any connection at all? Like, do you see where I'm going here, Albert?
Yeah. Why are doctors finding these after the first booster so common? What do you think about that? Good thing you have an antidote, though, like in my back pocket, right? Right. Okay. She didn't choose to do any of that. Watch what she did choose to do.
I really think that we will move the needle into overall survival of cancer.
That is such music to so many of our viewers' ears at the moment, Albert. And props to the wonderful people at Pfizer. I know how hard they work over years to develop these kinds of drugs. We've followed your company for a long, long time.
Okay, I'm a big fan. I've got all your albums, basically, is what she says. Can you sign my vaccine card? Now, I know you don't like talking about the royal families too much, but I am going to say that I give credence to this conspiracy theory. I'm listening to it, that the king will rebound from his cancer on a Pfizer drug. Here he was last week telling fellow cancer patients that he was going in for his treatment this afternoon.
We're going to see him playing basketball next.
Right.
And the basketball will have a big Pfizer logo on it.
Okay. I'm just saying, I know you don't love talking about the royal family. We don't have to do it anymore. And of course, I hope the king does get better. And I hope there is actually a cure for cancer. I honestly do. But I also think that Pfizer should be pushed to answer for vaccine harms and surging cancer rates. And including the royal family. And I also think they should be pushed to give us full transparency of clinical trials before anything is ever approved by the government. But the media is lazy and they are demurring on this vaccine injury. Another case in point, look at this New York Times article from this weekend, begrudgingly acknowledging vaccine injury. But the headline itself kills me. Not just that there are vaccine injuries, but it's all in your head. These people believe that they're vaccine harmed. It's psychosomatic, you know. It's like people believe in fairies. They believe it. And so you believe in fairies. Let's hear what you have to say. Here they refer to a neuroscience doctor who used to dance and ride her bike for 20 miles at a time. Now she has brain damage and she cannot drive. It says her account is one of the more harrowing, but thousands of Americans believe in fairies. They believe they suffered side effects following COVID vaccination. But as of April, just over 13,000 vaccine injury compensation claims have been filed with the federal government, but to little avail. Only 19% have been reviewed. I would like to play you this story of another man who was interviewed in the New York Times and also interviewed by Chris Cuomo over the weekend on his show. Now, this got a lot of play because Chris Cuomo admits that he too had a vaccine injury. That's interesting. So let's listen to this man's story here too. And what I want you to hear, a couple things, is yes, Chris Cuomo's admission, but also that this man cannot get help. So think of, as you're watching this, Pfizer's record profits, and then this man who gets no help, nothing.
But the problem is people like Sean and me and millions of others who still have weird stuff with their blood work and their lives and their feelings, you know, physically, are not going away. Sean Barkovich joins us now. Sean, why do you believe it's the vaccine?
Believe,
and what
he
has
says.
Happened when you've tried to get clinical analysis of it or answers?
Why do I believe this? It's not a belief. It's a fact. And as soon as I was injured, 15, 20 minutes of my first dose, I had the numbness tingling up and down my injected arm that over days spread to my face and my eyes. I went to see a neurologist. He ran some tests. He's like, well, this is all new. We don't know much about it, but the hospital is going to mandate it. You should get a second dose. And everything in my medical mind and my bones was telling me, no, if you have a reaction after something, don't do it again. But the pressure was immense. And then 3 weeks rolled around, I got a second dose. And after that, everything blew up. Ugh. I went from being a healthy, 100% healthy, fully functioning nurse to in a complete downward spiral of health. I had a myriad of symptoms.
Have you gotten any clarity from doctors or from the drug manufacturer putting out any information about what could happen as a side effect?
No, as a research nurse practitioner and somebody who worked on vaccine research, I thought after I was injured, there would be people to help me. I'm like, I'm in New York City. I will have there will be medical people ready to help me. There must be interest to find out what happened or what went wrong with me. I reached out to my political representatives. I reached out to the NIH, the CDC, the FDA. I got no answers. No one wanted to touch it. I got token responses back or no response.
Okay. Now, Chris Cuomo later goes on and says, well, I'm going to put together a group of people who's going to look into this because I also have some oddities with my blood work ever since the vaccination. Let's get together. Let's put our heads together and I'm going to help you. Which is interesting, right? Because Chris Cuomo never told us that while he was still on CNN actively promoting the vaccine. So this is your juxtaposition, is that while he was on corporate media, I guess would we call News Nation corporate media? I don't know. That's not necessarily. I don't know anything about it. If that's independent media or not. But
yeah, who knows? I don't know.
But why does he feel that he has license to say this now when he didn't on CNN? So as soon as I heard this today, I was like, oh, someone's going to put together a hot reel of his pro-vaccine reporting while he was on CNN versus now it's all right to say it. Of course, someone did. We relied on Twitter user Brianna Morello. She had it right away. Watch.
But the problem is,
How are they going to know who's vaccinated? You just said they showed the card. That's not the answer. The answer is a vaccine passport. Part of the reason that you're seeing what you're seeing in Florida is because of vaccine hesitancy. And an aspect of vaccine hesitancy is politics, especially in your state. Don't Fauci Florida. We all know that was about. Do you feel responsible for spreading a message where I'm not going to take it because I don't care what Biden wants? Byron Donald's not going to take it because he doesn't care what Biden wants. You think that's a good message for people to hear?
Well, the first thing is my message was never about Joe Biden. The message is about me and my own personal health.
I'm not getting vaccinated because I don't want to.
Hold on, Chris.
I want to read your words. I want to read your words. Byron, I know you don't get to cut me off. It's my show. But just not requiring their customers to wear masks anymore. The unvaccinated are still being encouraged to, but proof won't be required. See, it's easy to see who is wearing a mask, right? Because either you got it or you don't. But if you don't have one on, how would you ever know if the person is vaccinated? I guess they could tell you. Would you believe them? So will all the unvaccinated just ditch their masks now? Because no one's going to be able to tell the difference. Now, where I live.
Okay. So that's why so many people hate the corporate media, because he never admitted any vaccine injury. He was for blanket vaccination of the population until he wasn't. And I hope that he gets better. And I hope he does find some answers, but it's indicative of why we don't trust them. Here's a new AP poll out recently showing that only 14% of respondents expressed a great deal of confidence in election-related information they receive from national sources. So basically the media, only 11% say the same thing about their local news media. We don't trust them because they put on blinders for things they don't want to report on. That's why. Such as COVID. And then they fawn all over themselves like schoolgirls at a Taylor Swift concert when Albert Bourla comes on and do not ask hard questions. That's why.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.